mention the names because Henry's going to say I'm mentioning names. Because I'll get in trouble, but I just want you to look around and see, this is your foundation. I want everybody to see everybody else knowing that this church has been alive since Mother's Day. We have been meeting here in this church every Sunday, and we have just raised the word of God, so give him praise. Hallelujah. Before we start, you want to give that testimony, or you want to, you go right ahead.
Yesterday at the airport, coming back home, you know, you stand in line, lining up, and people go around, what number are you? And so this lady said, what number are you? I said, don't matter, honey, come on. You can come in front of us. So she said, you're so nice. Everybody else is like, no, I'm 17. And I was like, we're all going to the same place. And she started talking to us, and she said that she felt the Holy Spirit around us.
Yes. You got to get further along before you start crying, so thank you.
So we started talking about the Lord. They lived in Westfield, Mass, but they wanted our church address. And when we got on the plane, they came on, her and her two daughters. She was picking her daughter up from Livingston University in Nashville. She said, it's her first year. She's already informed me. She's never going back to Massachusetts. I said, she's not only smart, she's very smart. And so we got on the plane and we were sitting there and they boarded, her and her two daughters, and they sat right across from us. So we started flying and she started praying to Larry for our church because so many churches are closed and they're not wanting to open back up. And she said, I said, we lost our business, but our church was closed for 5 weeks, and that was enough. We couldn't survive without, we needed that. We needed the Lord, everybody together. So she started praying for our church and all our members that we all stay strong and keep coming and staying in faith. And when we got off and went to get our luggage, she started praying again for us. And said that she felt, hadn't felt that good in a year, just from being around us. Then she handed me, because they had stopped going to church out of fear, then she handed me a $100 bill, said, bless your church with this. Amen. So.
You say God bless you when somebody opens up a world of conversation. I've been preaching that. What you don't know is how many people you can help, how many people, how the power you have to change lives. This woman couldn't stop praying, couldn't speak it in tongues. She was speaking in tongues to me, Greek. And she said, no, she's speaking in Spanish.
She was speaking in tongues. She was praying in Spanish. He said, well, you understood everything she said.
But you have more power, and people need to hear what you have. You have this light, this glow inside that people need. And we just mentioned our church and that we were pastors and this was, we've been open. And she got on the plane. She sat across from me, and she was praying for 10 minutes about you, the church, the power of the church, the power of the people in the church, the health of the church. She went on and on praising God and saying, we stopped going. We went to the church. They had outdoor services in the fall. We went to that. Once they started inside, we just stopped going. We couldn't watch it on TV, and we just lost that fire to go. And she said, you guys have been there, and you kept your faith, and you kept your family, and you kept the foundation. It was remarkable. You can see my bride doesn't get emotional like that so quickly. And that's how the power you have to change people's lives every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand up and pray. We got a wonderful day in the Lord. I rebuke Satan from this place. I just ask the Lord. I invite Jesus into this house. I invite him in. I invite the angels to have a hedge of protection around this church as we preach his word and celebrate God today in ways that may change your life. I pray, oh, do I pray it changes your life. I pray that you receive this message, you individually, knowing that Bible was written for one person at a time. So you receive this today with joy. We give God praise and glory, and we thank God for those in attendance, the families that we have here today. My bride's heart, so happy to see her family together here with us today, Lord. So we just want you to shine, Lord, and we want this church full of joy and love and faith and every good blessing you can give us. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Walk on,
I see.
always say, you cannot sing Amazing Grace in church. You cannot sing it and then leave here mad at somebody. Because if you leave here mad at somebody, go back in and sing it again. Because that grace song is about you and your heart and your faith. Thank you, Bride. As you're standing, repeat with me, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our promise. That's our God in heaven. Give him praise. Be seated and enjoy yourself. I pray this morning that you have a great time in the Lord. We're looking out and seeing so many people here today, and it makes everybody's heart happy. Understand this one thing, please, before I go on. Everybody here today is making somebody else happy. You want to wake up in the morning and do something different. On a Sunday morning, you wake up and you go to a church where everybody knows your name, where you're family. You make everybody happy. Can I get an amen? Understand what I'm saying? The fact that you are here today, you are making other people happy. What a beautiful blessing that is. What a beautiful blessing to see our family here today. See folks that we haven't seen in a while, our friends. You're making somebody else happy. God, that's a beautiful thing. I don't know about you, but I like making people happy. It's just me. Now, responsive reading is when I read and then you read also. Are you all ready? All right. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel, that is you, you and you. What we did yesterday is exactly that. We just mentioned his name yesterday. One mention of his name changed somebody's life. They're talking about your church today in a place you've never been before. People we've never seen. You need to give this offering to your church. What a blessing. One word changed that person's life. Said, I haven't been going to church since they started going back on television after it was too cold to go outside. And she said, you gave me faith. You gave me hope. Your church gives me hope. That's you. That is all you. Give him praise, church. Give yourself praise. Come on now. Come on. Whew. If I can't get you excited on a Sunday, what hope do you have on a Tuesday? Hallelujah. For those of you that haven't been here in a while, what we do every Sunday is we have a couple of quizzes. Don't worry, we're not taking names and how many you get wrong. They're called multiple choice, which means you make a choice. Please make a choice. We went to take our boating course. This is true. We went to take our boating course to learn how to drive our boat without a motor. Made us do it. And this lady failed the test. And it was like the third or fourth time she failed a test. And it was a 50-question thing, multiple choice. She didn't choose anything. I'm thinking, well, if you don't choose anything, you're going to fail the test. And he finally had to say, just circle something. You might get one of them right. You don't know. So this is multiple choice. This is Bible trivia that we enjoy every Sunday. So the first question is, what fruit likens was placed upon the hem of the robes to be worn by Aaron and his sons? What fruit likeness was a place that, was it a fig? Was it a pomegranate or was it cherries? What fruit likeness was placed upon the hem of the robes to be worn by Aaron? How many think it was fig? The fig. How many think it was pomegranate? How many think it was cherries? Exodus. The hem of each robe was to be decorated with pomegranates and bells. How many times... Here we go again. How many times did the rooster crow?
You gotta explain that one now.
I do? We were at a Bible study, and one of the quiz questions was, how many times did the rooster crow? And before I can get, everybody said, three. Three, that was it. That was it. It was three. And I just stood there smiling. How many times did the rooster crow? One time. No, one time. How many times did Balaam beat his donkey before the Lord opened his eyes? Before the Lord opened his eyes. How many? Two times, three times, or four times? How many times did Balaam hit his donkey? How many think it was two times? How many think three times? And how many say four times? He beat his donkey three times. Before the Lord opened his eyes and before the donkey started to speak to Balaam. You mess up with God, brothers and sisters, you're learning lessons. You don't know who or what's going to speak to you if you mess up. How many remember Jesus? Remember when the stone, when the people were yelling, praising him, and they said, the Pharisees said, stop these people from praising. He said, if they stop, the rocks are going to cry out. So he doesn't need our praise. So Balaam missed three times, and then the donkey started talking to him. I don't want any of you to get in a place where all of a sudden your car starts speaking to you. Or the you walk by the refrigerator and say, I don't want that for you. I want you to listen to God. How many times did Balaam bless Israel? How many times did he bless Israel? Did he do it three times, four times, or five times? How many think he blessed Israel three times? How many think four times? How many want to say five times? Four different times does Balaam bless Israel. Now what was he supposed to do? Curse them. Remember, Barak, the king said, I'm going to pay you all this money and I'm going to give you all this wealth and I just want you to go to the top of the mountain and look at all the Hebrew people and I want you to curse them. And what did he do? He went up to the top of the mountain and he blessed them. And the king said, what are you doing? And he said, I can only do what God tells me to do. He did it that many times. And here's the last one. What was Balaam's prophecy to the people of Amalek? What was his prophecy to those people? The next generation would come to know the Lord? Was his prophecy that their children would be blessed? Or was his prophecy that they would perish forever? Balaam's prophecy to the people of Amalek. How many think it was that the next generation would come to know the Lord? How many think it was their children were to be blessed? And how many think that they would perish forever? What was Balaam's prophecy to the people of Amalek? They would be destroyed by the Israelites and perish forever. God's not fooling around. And that's the same God in the New Testament that's in the Old Testament. You know, they say you're not supposed to fear the Lord. You should have a total reverence for this Lord who can change lives in a second. So they will perish forever. Wow, amen. In your bulletin, you'll see some scriptures, and Marilyn and I put them in. They kind of go along with the sermon today. Hallelujah. And one of them is Ecclesiastes 12:12, and it says, and further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Who told us that? That was Solomon. Amen. Much books. You see, you watch the news every day, somebody's writing a how-to book. How to do this, how to treat this, how to fix this. There's so many books that your mind gets kind of crazy. How many know that's true? Amen? Nobody knows beside me? How many know that in your Bible, there were 15 other books than you have in the Bible right now? They're called the Apocrypha books. Anybody know that? You go to certain churches, different churches, you open up your Bible, between the Old Testament and New Testament, there's 15 other books. They're called the Apocrypha books. Let me tell you what that means. Hidden. Those are hidden books. They were published in the original King James Bible in 1611. They were in the Bible. They were removed in 1885. There's a lot of talk about, were they inspired by God? How many know that the Bible is God-inspired? That these people who wrote it were inspired by? So people, that were they inspired by God? Or they were simply a continuation of other writings? Some people think that these books were true, but they were continuations of Paul and maybe James and maybe Peter, maybe some of the Gospels, that they wrote their feelings and their ideas and they wanted to expand on it. So they really weren't inspired by God, but they were about God, amen? And so people, but it says making of many books. Every time you turn on the TV, somebody's got a new book, so. But here's the thing. I want to share with you, and hear our prayer, O Lord, this morning. The Bible is knit together, woven tightly, old to new, front to back, confirming scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Your Bible confirms itself over and over. In that book, written thousands of years apart by people who didn't know each other, God inspired words that were written for you, and they're confirmed. If you hear something that sounds strange, if it is, because you can't confirm it, but anything about God, you can look it up. Thank you, Lord. The Bible is called the living word. It fits all times for all people. Amen. Do you know it fits all times for all people? Somebody said, well, maybe God didn't know about computers, right, when he was making the Bible. Maybe he didn't know God was going to invent cell phones. That's kind of silly. I hear you laughing, right? The Bible has been written once for all people, all times. That's what we preach. But if those books are in the Bible and you want to read those books, read those books. Read those. Look at those books. You will know in your spirit if it feeds you. You will know in your spirit if it's something that confirms what the Bible says. If you read something that doesn't, put it away. Amen? If it confirms the writings of Moses, David, Matthew, Peter, and John, and James, take it in. Anytime this book is in your hand being read by your eyes, you are closer to God. I hate covering that book up. Let me say this again. Anytime this book is in your hands and you're reading it and by your eyes, you are closer to God. If you put it on the table over in the corner, that's where God is. If you pick up the book and start reading it, then he said, I can talk to you. Oh God, what a beautiful thing. This book is written to one person at a time. One person. One person gets this, gets fed, tells another person who tells another person. That's how churches get formed. That's how people get faith. That's how people see God at work. Hallelujah. And here it is. Ready? A church that becomes a Bible-reading, faith-seeking, God-loving church becomes a church with power and a light for all to see. Amen? A church that becomes a Bible-reading, faith-seeking, God-loving church becomes a church with power and a light for all to see. Those inside that church become spirit-filled and spirit-led, confident, full of faith, wisdom, and powerful in ministering to others. What a prayer for all of us today to become a church like that, that gets into the Bible, reads the Bible yourself, for you. Read it for you. Don't read it for me. Last week, I asked everybody if you would read one page. I said, just read. I'm not going to ask if you did. It's between you and God. I don't want to know. Some people might have read three. I got a feeling David might have read four or five chapters. But I asked you to read one page. One page. As between, if you didn't do it, then you didn't, nothing to me. You just lost the chance to talk to God. Seek God. This week I'm going to ask you about Proverbs later. I'm going to ask you to read a couple of Proverbs. Find two Proverbs, two of them that pertain to you in your life. I want you to start seeking. I want you to understand the power of this book is only works when you read it. The power of this book only works when you know it, when you can stand on it, when it feeds you. We're going to have food later. Amen. Hallelujah. We got food right here for today, for you, forever. I just said it fits all times for all people. It's worthy of that. So hear our prayer, Lord, that they understand this morning that the worth of this Bible is everything. These words are words from God. God breathed by these people. If there's something, another book that we don't have in this Bible right now, read it. Study it. Enjoy it. If somebody gives you a book to read, enjoy it. But don't forget this book, because every other book was made off of this book. Anybody other faith, any other's faith was made off of this book. Anybody other trying to decide how to treat people, it's in here. How to love people, in here. It's all here. It's all in this book written to one person at a time. If you only take the time. And I pray that today, that we become that faith-seeking, Bible-reading church that the whole world cannot deny lives in Derby, Connecticut. I'm for the people in this church to become spirit-fed and spirit-led in ways that they didn't even think possible. And don't hesitate and don't tarry and don't wait any longer. So look back and say, I wish I did it sooner. You can do it today. And that's our God. That's what we love. And we love him in this word. I pray that you receive that. I hear our prayer, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, loosen up. I love it. Okay, I got you for 20 minutes now. Pull the seatbelt tight. And I want to say this before I start. Please don't feel like I'm talking to you. Please. Because I'm talking to all of us today. I'm talking to each one of us. Don't be, why is he talking about me? No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about me. No, maybe not me. I got a note here. Read one page. I asked last week, Brian, everybody read one page. I don't know if they did. I'm not going to ask if they did. I'll assume if they did, they'll come up and tell me, though. Hey. I'm not talking about baseball. For those of you that don't like baseball, I just got to use this as a, what's that, metaphor? Am I hashtagging? I don't know. Anybody who knows anything about baseball, they have spreadsheets on all the players. How many players? All of them. A hitter, the weaknesses and their strengths, their habits, down to a science. Hitters, where they hit the ball, where to place the fielders, how to get them out. They have a game that this game now, they take some of the players and put them on this side because he never hits over there, and they know that, so they play everybody over there because the spreadsheet says so. Amen? Hallelujah. And most of the time, the hitter does not disappoint them. Strike one, strike two, strike three, he's out. And he goes back mad at the world. They don't disappoint them. Now, I don't want you to think it is just the hitters. Pitchers, too. You ever watch a game? They got a spreadsheet on all the pitchers. How many pitchers? All the pitchers. What he throws, how fast he throws. Does he throw inside? Does he throw outside? All these little habits that he has. Does he take his time? They got more stuff on that guy than you can think of. They have him completely covered. He knows it, and they know it. Yet when he throws the pitch expected and the batter gets a hit, the pitcher looks upset. Well, why should you be? You should be upset. He knew what you were going to throw because you had a spreadsheet that they read everything about you. And heaven forbid you change that spreadsheet. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Here's a funny one, though. Once in a while during a ball game, they'll bring a new guy out. This young kid comes out and he's going to hit the ball. Or he's going to pitch the ball. Right? Comes out. And all of a sudden this young kid comes out and they look at him. The manager's got to talk to the hitter and the catcher got to go out and talk to the pitcher. Who's this guy? I don't know this guy. I don't know the habits. I don't know what to do. We don't know him. We don't know what he likes, what he doesn't like. We don't know his children. So they don't know anything, but they got to have a talk. Confusion is alive and well on the baseball field. Until they can get a spreadsheet on each other. And right or wrong, they feel that they're in control or not. That's the truth. That's spreadsheet. That's sports for you. They do the most amazing things. They take people off the whole side of the field because the guy they know is going to hit over there. And what does he do? He hits over there. And then he makes it out and he's mad, Brian. How could that happen? Spreadsheets. Do we do it with each other? Here we go. Be honest. Do we know each other's habits? How they dress, how they talk, what they drive, how they drive? We all know that, right? How we see someone else. What we can say, can they be teased? What we can discuss together, it's all out there on each other's spreadsheet. You have it. Hallelujah. We have each other. We're not supposed to know, don't do that. But is it not true? Do we judge others with our spreadsheet? Matthew 7:1, judge not lest you be judged. But we use that spreadsheet. We got it right there because we know. What about when we meet somebody new? Remember the new player that came out of the dugout and the manager was talking to the hitter and the pitcher? When somebody new walks into the church, what happened? Who's that? I don't know who's that. What's he do? I don't know. Where's he go? What's I don't know. What's he do for a living? I don't know. What's he like? I don't know. Was he a nice guy, bad guy? I don't know. Oh no. What about when somebody new? Oh my, we look, we listen, we wait, we look for help. Don't say nothing wrong. What a dilemma. Because we don't have their spreadsheet in front of us to read. You see everybody walking in. Oh, that's John and Emery. I know everything about them. I have my spreadsheet. What they like, what they don't like. Heaven forbid they have one on me. They wouldn't have one on me. I'm just... Nah. Okay, here it comes. You ready? If you have one on someone else, they must have one on you. They must have a spreadsheet on you. Thank you. What do we do? What do we do with those players? What do those players do? What do they need to do? I think the answer is very clear. Are you ready? How about read the spreadsheet about you? If every player in baseball sat down and read their own spreadsheet, then they would see their weaknesses and their strengths, saying, no wonder I can't get any hits. This guy knows me and I do everything like he thinks I do. I do, he does, and he does. And the pitcher's saying, I can't get this guy out because I'm throwing him the same pitch every time he expects me to throw, but I throw it anyway because the spreadsheet says to throw it. What about reading our own spreadsheet? Imagine the most amazing things you can discover if you went over your own sheet. You saw your strengths, saw your weaknesses, just you looking. And nobody else needs to see. Can I get an amen? If you start looking over your spreadsheet, don't ask anybody else's opinion. They don't need to know what you're looking at because you're looking at you. You're looking at your life. You're looking at the way you walk, your habits. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Just be honest with you. Anybody ever lie to themselves? I guess we all do. And Brother Fred, I love you. God bless you. Just be honest with yourself when you do this. It's between you and God. Oh, Lord, now you brought God into it. Then the words of God start to come alive. When you start looking at your spreadsheet and thinking about the Word of God and Jesus and talking about God and you're just talking to God, then all these words in the Bible start becoming alive to you. They become real to you because they matter to you because they are who? You. Hallelujah. Amen. Like God can finally make connection with you when you go to God alone. Those Proverbs that we're going to talk about, they're in there for you, for your help. Help, amen? For you to look at your own spreadsheet. Oh, Lord, what that would change. Don't look at anybody else. You don't have time. But you examine yourself honestly with God. Sometimes you're going to laugh. I know sometimes some of the things, your habits and your traits, you're going to laugh about. Can I get an amen? But some of them are serious. Some of them, you just wish I wasn't. Is that me? Is that really how people see me? A lot of people are worried about how they see you, and I am the same way. I'm worried about, but it's how you want them to see you and how you act, and that's how they see you. Amen? As you look inside, you will shut doors. You will lock the skeletons away. You will not be the same. How many have a closet you don't want opened? Right? You don't want that. So you continue to walk away. But here it is, ready? There will be those who will carry your closet with them. Yep. Family, friends, you're walking away from these skeletons. You're doing good. You're walking, you're doing a different life, but you got other people carrying your closet around with them. They got your skeletons. And at the right time, they tell everybody about your skeletons. What's that all about? A reminder of your past mistakes, your wrong choices. The Bible calls them talebearers. Can I get an amen? Amen. It says that a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals the matter. And it said the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Those are people who carry about your closet, your past, all the while holding in lock and key their transgressions. Look inside. The Bible calls them talebearers. They're lost, without hope, angry, and they will try. Just hold fast. Just hold fast. Those of you that are walking with the Lord and you're looking at your spreadsheet and you really want things to change in your life. Because this is between you and God, amen. I'm talking to all of us now. You can be honest with me or not. But hold fast to people like Paul and David and Moses and Solomon, Peter and John. Those people are hiding their fears. Your courage scares them. You look at what those other people, John and Peter and Moses, you look at their failures, and you could say, well, look what he did, but he look what he did at the end. You know, don't carry around somebody else's burdens. Don't carry around somebody else's closet. What good does that do? Absolutely nothing, except it exposes your weakness, that you're scared, that if this person changes, all of a sudden you have to what? Change. If this person does this and it's not what you expect, then you have to do something else. Oh my God. The spreadsheet's all messed up. You got to start erasing. And the person didn't say that, didn't I? Why did I did? Blah, blah, blah. Those people that carry your spreadsheet and your closet are lost without hope. They're angry. They will try. But your courage scares them. They must change or else they must be left behind. Why would you not want to change? What makes you weak? I ask you again, why would you not want to change what makes you weak? Can I get an amen? If you got something inside of you and you're looking with God and you're sitting with God and you got your spreadsheet, why would you not want to change something that made you weak? Change isn't always a negative. Change is a big part of, ready, success. You think of every successful person, there's a lot of things they had to change to get there. They didn't wake up one day and invent something, the next day they were billionaires. They had to work and change and alter. They had to change their spreadsheet on what they were looking at. Thank you, Lord. Yet we hold fast to our faults, our habits, don't we? Can I have an amen? We hold fast to our faults and habits, even if others continue to take advantage of our stubbornness. So why shouldn't they? If you're going to stay stubborn, why shouldn't they take advantage of that if they know you so well? Especially those closest to you or think that they know you best. Remember, this is your spreadsheet. Please remember what I'm talking to you today about, you and God. It takes no conversation, no discussion, no opinions. No one needs to know. No one. It's you and God. Again, you might laugh a little when you think about it. You might cry a little. But it's simply between you and God. There's so much to learn about you, yourself. We always look at other people and want them to change and want them to do other things. Today's the day you're looking at you. You're looking in the mirror. You have a spreadsheet on every, you know everybody, you know all the friends, but they know your habits. So you have to start looking at you. Where have you failed? And it's not even failure. Understand, amen? It's not about sin. It's not about failure. It's about life. It's about how you can be a better friend, how you can be a better mate, how you can be a better husband, a better wife, how you can be better with your family. Rise above all the aggravation and the noise, because you're not the same, because you're changing yourself. You're talking to God now. It's between you and God. Each change will bring joy to it. It will, I promise you. You will see a change in others. You'll have to see a change in others when you change. When you look at something that you're failing or something that's weak and you change it, somebody else has to change. They can't be the same because you're not the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, it's the one to think they know you best, or so they think. Hallelujah. It will free you from the little things that have held you down. Isn't that enough to hear at church? You do this one thing, it'll free you from the little things that, I know you all have them, I have them, the things that hold you down. It's because it's who you are, because it's who you've made yourself to be. And your other friends expect everything, every failure. The pitcher has a spreadsheet on you. He feels in control. Your boss has a spreadsheet on you. He feels in control. Your family has a spreadsheet on you. They feel in control because they think they know you. They may have you right where they want you, which is exactly where you want them to be. Hallelujah. Because you are no longer locked into what they think they know. How beautiful is that? When you talk to God, when you go along with God and you look at these things in your spreadsheet with God, and all of a sudden you come away changing one thing, one habit, then they don't know you anymore. Amen. They don't know that person. They don't know that you spoke to God. They don't know that God moved you to become better, to become stronger. Hallelujah. So you know what's coming next. You know by your spreadsheet on them. Now you are the one who is more than ready. In life, at work, and at home. With your family and with your mate. There's so many little things you can do today. Today, looking at your little spreadsheet about you today and change something that'll change a habit that'll make your mate happy, that'll make your family happy, that'll make somebody else have to listen to you. And how many people want to be listened to? I know we all do. So you change these little things and something they don't expect, and you say something, they say, what, wait a minute, what was that? You see what God is doing when you're changing with Him, when you're walking with Him, because it's between you and God. It's still the same you. Or is it? God is lifting you. God is guiding you. Gently lean not on your own understanding. How many heard that proverb? Lean not on your own understanding. Well, that's what it means. Then why do we do it? Lean not on your own understanding. That's a proverb. When you look, so why do we do it? It says, be not wise in your own eyes. How many of you do it? How many of you have all the answers? I can fix the Yankees tomorrow. I can change the course of mighty rivers tomorrow. I got all the answers. Be not wise in your own eyes. That's a good reason for you to say, maybe I better not talk. Maybe I better go back and look at my spreadsheet and see what I need to change. And I want to say this again. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about committing sin. I'm talking about your habits. I'm talking about the things that, your little traits that you see in other people so easily that they see in you. That you want to be better. You want to rise up. You want to be stronger. You want to be happier. You want to be in a place where they can't reach you. You want to be in a place where you can add to the conversation in a way they didn't expect. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's what God does for you. God is lifting you up. He's guiding you gently. Because you had the courage to look honestly and to accept His word. Allow God to lead. Check His word. Allow His word to come alive in your life. Again, this is not about sin, brothers and sisters. This is about you and me. Looking at yourself and how we check other people out and know how they check us out. You can change little things. You can start today. You can start right now. It's how God works. You get into this Bible and you open it up and you start reading His word. It changes you. You read a proverb and it makes sense to you. Be not wise in your own eyes. You say, I get that now. So what do I got to do? He said, well, learn wisdom. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. How many love yourself? Come on. It says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. If you love your own soul, then get the wisdom. Where do you get the wisdom? From God. Where do you find God? In His word. It's that simple. Those habits, those that work for you and those that fail you. Everyday life. And I put this down all the time because it's so true. What we saw yesterday wasn't an accident. When we talked about God to people we never met, it wasn't an accident. How it changed their life, how it changed her expression, how they talked to us. It was stepping out of your comfort zone. Stepping out and saying something about God to somebody, not knowing what your results would be. But God had a plan. The first time you taste that victory, it will draw you closer to God. But you get more excited to do it again. Who are you going to try it on next, Pastor Larry? I might try it on the receptionist that I talk to on the phone tomorrow that gets mad because he won't help me with my TV bill. I might be nice to them and see him because they expect people. How many of you know when you call somebody, they expect you to be angry when you're calling that person? Why isn't my phone working? But if you're not, or you call somebody and you have a kind message, a happy message, you know what they want to do? They want to call you back. You got anybody here today when the phone rings and you see it, say, I ain't answering that. Why won't you answer that? Because you have the spreadsheet on the person calling. I'm going to be here for an hour and a half. You ain't answering. You never answer one. You never call me back. I ain't got a week today. And then they go to their friends and say, never call him because he never answered the phone. Wait a minute, that's my spreadsheet. Don't be messing with my spreadsheet now. He won't answer the phone when I call, so why should I call him? See, it works both ways. Can you imagine if that person called and he said, how you doing? Oh, good, I'm just checking in. I was just thinking about you, and I just wanted to pray with you and just hope that everything is well with you and your wife. I just wanted you to know somebody else was thinking about you today. Maybe it was exactly what you needed. And if you didn't pick up the phone and answer, you didn't get it. That person has looked in their spreadsheet and said, maybe folks aren't taking my call because I keep them on too long. Or maybe I just go on and on about things. Anybody here go on and on about things? You haven't talked to me long enough to know how I do it. Yep. I got a spreadsheet too. People that I won't answer the phone. Nope. I ain't answering her. I got a friend that calls me, bless his heart, one of the greatest friends I have. I mean, not Brian. I always say, Brian, you're a blessing in my life of having you a friend, my friend. I know. No, he calls you, he never calls me, which is something we need to talk about now. He'll call me up and say, hi, Larry, how are you? I said, I'm great. How are you doing? Hey, are you there? Yep, I'm here. I'm just calling. So what about country music? Okay, what about it? Doesn't say anything. Anybody got a friend like that? He's just happy to call you and have you on the phone. You ever call anybody and don't leave a message? Why do you do that? You know what? People know when you call them, you're not going to leave a message. You know what that is? Your spreadsheet. I call Gene and talk to Gene. Walter never gets on the phone. I know that. Don't call to talk to Walter. He ain't going to talk to you. That's his spreadsheet, see? So if he ever got on the phone later and said, "Hey, Larry, how you doing?" I'd go, "Whoa, what am I doing?"
Hold on. Yeah. Here's Pat.
Well, Tom is Pat's receptionist. And he does a great job checking over the calls before somebody talks to Pat. Because they're going to want to talk to Pat about some need that they have, so he has to be like the bear in the wall. Oh, I'm looking. I'm guilty. Doreen, I'm guilty of looking at everybody's spreadsheet. And that beautiful Miss Pat, and Pat and Tom are here today. And she's such a spirit-filled person. When she hugs you, you feel like angels are holding you. So the first thing you want to do is call her and tell her this and tell her that and give her this and that. She said, "No, I just want to down. I love you. Don't call the pastor or talk to someone." Because her spirit makes you want to be with her. Understand that? Her spreadsheet says to be with her because you want to be close to her. That's the spreadsheet you want to have. Amen? It doesn't mean you have to answer the phone every time that person calls, because maybe you don't have time. But you should, you know, just maybe check yourself out. I mean, hello, Brother Greg. Everybody say hi to Brother Greg. All right, I gotta close now. They tell me I talk too long. On my spreadsheet, they say, "Oh, you talk too long." The first time you taste this victory, the first time you can be honest with yourself, don't talk to your husband about it. Don't talk to your wife. It's none of their business. And remember, God likes to keep secrets with you. He likes when you talk to him to keep it between you and him. How many know that's true? When you talk to God, he wants it to be between you. Your wife says, "Why didn't you tell me what you told God?" I'm not telling you nothing. But they'll see it if you listen. They'll see it if you do it. So the first time that you taste that and understand that you did something just a little different, other people are going to notice that. You want to be noticed? There you go. And if you say something different than they expect and they say, "What was that?" That means they want to listen to what you have to say. Amen? That's also what you want, right? You want people to hear what you have to say. So you got to say something worth listening to. But so they, "Oh, I know what they're going to talk about." But if you fool them, then they have to stop. They have to go back and check. "No, that's not in there. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? Maybe I better listen for a minute." And then they hear you. You say something good. It makes their health, their body. How many know that good words are like healing? Good words are salt and bone. They're food. That's good words. A good conversation makes somebody feel good. What's wrong with making people feel good? You want to feel bad? Turn on the television. Knock yourself out. But when you come to church, you ought to feel good about it. You ought to feel good about you. Read one page. One page. You watch baseball games and news and all that. And what's that? What Gene watches, the channel, was it? What's that channel, Walter? No, stop it. Hallmark Channel. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. So how do you get understanding? You read. I don't care if you're 7, 17, 27, 47, 87, 97. You open up this book and you get understanding. God's speaking to you. Hallelujah. The first time you taste victory, you will draw you closer to God. And here's the ending. When someone expects you to fail, when you answer, is not what was expected. If your answer is not what's expected, when they do exactly what you expected, and you line a base hit to right field, driving in the winning run, When you change your spreadsheet and that guy throws the ball and you hit the ball where they didn't expect it and the ball hits the grass and you win the game, you never go back again. You understand what you just, hey, I just got a hit. They didn't expect it to get a hit and I won the game getting that hit. Maybe I should look at other things that I do or that I fail at and my habits, that I can change my habits, because these people think they know me and these people think they understand me and they got it all down. It'd be only because I've given them one way. But if I start going to God and doing one-on-one with God and letting God fill me and walk with the Lord, they won't understand and they'll have to change either way. Either way, they're going to have to do something to be with me or be around me or to talk to me. And that's exactly what you want when you're walking with God. You want people to listen to you, to hear you, to see you. So you need to shine. And I pray that each and every one of you want to shine more. And the greatest way to shine is in right in this book. Hallelujah. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Proverbs 18:24. I'll close with that. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. God has so much for us. God has so much for this church. You have no idea the power in this church. You have no idea the power that you hold telling somebody about Jesus. Don't tell them about a denomination. Don't tell. Talk about God. Talk about Jesus. Went into an antique store in Tennessee and a woman started talking to me about Paul and the things he went through, and we started talking about the things he had to deal with, and it was, we just had this deep conversation about the Bible, about understanding the Bible, not just the words, but understanding the Bible. And it was wonderful. What we shared was lifted our spirits. We felt good. My wife could tell you, we felt good about our conversation. It was wonderful. And because you have a little knowledge and a little wisdom, you can share with other people. It feels good. Because you surprise them, it feels good. Because they don't recognize you, because God is changing you, molding you day, one day at a time, you feel good. You know your old habits, and if you walk away from them, you'll be able to see them in you. Don't talk to anybody else about it. Just between you and God. Don't share your opinion, because it's not about their opinion. And remember, other people are going to carry your closet around. That's the hardest part. That's the hardest part I want you to understand. You just understand that there will be people, as you're walking away and walking with the Lord, somebody will come to you that knew you 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and remind you of a closet and a skeleton that you once had. They're called talebearers. Don't give them any thought. Don't give them any concern, because they have their own. That's all they have left. If that's all they have left is coming down on somebody else, they don't have very much. So you pray for them. But I pray for you today. I pray today that you will go home this week and read Proverbs until you find two that relate to you. I pray that you go home and you read the book of Proverbs. I promise you, it's in here. I promise. It's a book of Proverbs, P-R-O-V-E-R-B-S, right in here. And you go home and you just read them until you find two that affect your life, and then you read them and enjoy them, because finally God connects with you. Give God praise, church. I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to sit at my Father's right hand. I'm going to cover all your sins. I'm going to be your attorney. I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to be standing there for you, with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper because of me. I will bless you with more blessings than you have. Pray in my name. Come to the Father. You can come to the Father. You don't have to go to anybody else. Come to my Father in my name. What else? What does he say? I will lift you up. I will be there for you. I will never leave you. My love is... And all he says is, do this in remembrance of him. Do this in remembrance of him. All the things he blesses us with, and he has to ask us to do something to remember him by. But we do that in this house. Jesus took the bread and he blessed and he broke that bread. And he passed it to his disciples. And he said, eat. Eat. This is my body being torn for you. And I tell you again and again, the disciples looked at him and said, I don't know what he's talking about, but we better do it. Amen. No, really, they didn't know what he was talking about. But because he took the bread and blessed it and he said, this is my body being torn for you. He said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. My wife says I have a way of lifting people up all the time, and that's always been my heart and always been my spirit, to make people feel better about themselves or feel better about what they're doing or just encourage them. There's a man in church with us this morning who told me a long time ago, Pastor, when you do the sacrament of the blood, it has to be pure. Your soul has to be clean. You have to be ready. Your spirit has to be cleansed. So every Sunday in this church, I ask you to ask God to forgive us all for our iniquities. Asking Him to cleanse us of all our iniquities. We're not asking man. We're not asking any person. We're asking God to cleanse us from all our iniquities. So we receive the sacrament of His blood so that your spirit and your soul and your body is in the right place to receive it. It sounds that simple, and it is that simple, but you have to have it in your heart. Ask God, Lord, forgive me for any iniquities. These iniquities have separated me from you, Lord. Whatever I've said, any actions that I've had, Lord, would you forgive me for all of these, Lord, because I want to receive this morning in my church the sacrament. As he poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. And he looked at them all and said, do this in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name. Be healed this morning. May the things you're praying about, when you get home, may you find some of those prayers answered. Maybe one of your prayers was actually coming to church today and God answered your prayer. It answered our prayer. To see some of you here today, we've been praying week after week after week. We've been keeping you in prayer. And the fact that you're here today is a prayer answered for us, for the believers in the foundation of this church. We believe for miracles. We believe God hears our prayer. I pray that you receive blessings today that you didn't expect. I pray that you receive words today from somebody you didn't expect. A healing from a family member. Something that made people just, you made people good. And they made you good. A kind word. I pray that for you today. I pray that your conversation today blesses somebody you don't even know. That your strength and faith reaches out to somebody you never met before, because they need that one word that you give them, that Jesus loves you, may be enough to change their life forever. I pray that your strength and your spirit shine through, that people come and ask you for prayer because they can see that spirit on you. I believe that's possible. Somebody should never have to tell anybody, I'm a Christian. Say, no, I see it. I feel it. That woman said she felt something yesterday. I was humbled. I was humbled and I just left it at that. But she said, I feel something. I feel God's presence. I feel the spirit. And she prayed in the spirit and she prayed for us. On an airplane in front of other people who probably didn't have any idea about God even being there. We prayed before we took off. We prayed when we landed. But they were praying. We were talking about Jesus, talking about the church, your church. She was praying for you. That one prayer, that one word, and lifted prayer to this church. God heard a prayer about this church from somebody who's never been in this church. That's the power of prayer and faith. God forgives you when you ask. God loves you no matter what you do. He just loves you and wants you to love Him and wants you to see what He can do in your life. Take that spreadsheet you have and you read it about you. No more reading about the other person. No more trying to understand any. No more worrying about what they do or what they say or where they go. Look at yourself. Let other know that other people see you and they see that and they have a spreadsheet on you. So you got to learn to find those things that you can do to change them so that they'll listen to you and change them so that they can see you in a bigger, brighter way, because God's got a light shining on you. And I pray that you understand the light and the power that you have in God. And I pray that you take that book this week and open it up and look at two Proverbs, just two of them. I tell you, it won't take 5 minutes. You'll find two of them that rely, talk about you, and write them down. Write it down and look at it and talk and say, God, look what you just showed me. And don't tell anybody about it. Let it be between you and God. Let that joy raise up in you. She gave her a prayer book. Rini had a prayer book for Proverbs for women. And she gave it to the girl. She started crying on the plane. She said, I haven't been praying. I always prayed and I stopped praying. Her faith was down to the bottom because of everything going on in the country. And not politics. I'm talking about the virus and the fears of this nation. The fears of everybody. Her faith was dropped because they forego fellowship. This is the most essential thing we do every week of our life right here. This is it right here. Whatever church you go to. Hallelujah. I pray you find that. Open that book up and let God talk to you. That's my prayer. Give God praise in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've learned that I have a lot to learn. In these 10 years I've been preaching, I learned I have a lot to learn. I had a lot of Bible. I got a Bible degree in Bible doctrine and Old Testament. I got a degree in New Testament. I got the degree in the book of Acts. But it had nothing to do with preaching and standing in front of God. I had all this stuff in my head, but I had to learn how to get it in my head, to get it into my mouth, to get it out. And it's something I'm learning every single Sunday in every Bible study. But my heart has been more and more torn right here, to pull it right here, to learn more, to dig deeper, to give you sermons that really affect your life. Like today, it wasn't about one person, it was about all of us. I believe that when you go to church, you should hear a message that touches you. I believe that. I believe any Sunday you go to church and hear somebody talk about God, it should have something to do with your life. Because that's the God I worship. So these 10 years, and my wife has stood with me for these 10 years, and the trials and tribulations and the ups and downs and everything. Because the Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good thing and receive blessing from God. And I can contest to that. That I've learned more and more about what she does in my life and how important she is in my life. And I hope that she sees changes in me. That I, as I grow deeper as a pastor and believe in this church and believe that she sees something different in me. Because she's known me since she was 9. It's hard to look at me on a Wednesday and call me Pastor Larry when food is on my shirt. Or my when my pants are undone, or my shirt's not tucked in, or tucked in. I mean, you know, it's what she has to go through. And then actually see me on a Sunday as the pastor of a church. And I have to remind her, she's the wife of a pastor. Her presence here is as important to the women, if not more important. And to see everybody here today. I wanted 100 people, I told God, you know, and we didn't have 100 people. We don't have 100 people yet. But God said, I gave you a foundation that's so strong and so beautiful. That's you. Those who come every Sunday, you're the foundation. You're that strong. You're that beautiful to me. That's what we have. God has blessed us with a foundation. So when our friends come, they see a church alive. They see a church ready to clap, ready to have a good time in the Lord. That's what I want to see when other people come. And that's you. That's what we're building together. That's when somebody leaves, I get so torn up because I want to build something for God, not for people. Now, you're here for God. You tell everybody every week, tell yourself, I'm going for God. I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for my friends, but I'm going for God. When you do that, you go every Sunday because God is here waiting for you. And that's when the church becomes strong. When a Bible, I'm telling you, I said it before, when you get a church that's a Bible reading church, it's on fire in a way that you don't even understand yet. You get a church so strong in faith that they read the Bible, it's a powerful church because that Bible is changing that person every single day. And so when they bring that spirit to church, hallelujah, what can happen? Amen. That's the glory of God that we're seeing today. Thank you very much. You have blessed me more than I can say, but this God blessing me to be a pastor is more than I can ever give him thanks for. And I just want to do it the way he wants us to be done. So thank you very much. I'm excited. I had no idea. You pulled one over on your pastor. I guess I don't know their spreadsheet that well, do I? Okay, Bible studies Tuesday. Any other announcements? Food and dessert downstairs right after I say amen. Not yet. Yes, Mrs. C.
Hold on. We have one more announcement.
Boys Dallas love you, Larry.
This is my son, Thomas and Alex. They're from Troop 3. We just want to thank you so much, Pastor Larry, for all the years of using your church or having your church for Scout Sunday. You've seen my first one in red. Make his Eagle Scout project here, helping with our food drive. Alex is now my other one. He is senior patrol leader, and he was here for your Scout Sunday and everything. We thank you for all the years, Troop 3 and all our family. Yeah.
And all the scouts that have signed the card for you when the leader is called.
The card right here. Can you have
the praise the Lord.
Okay.
Troop 3, prepared for life. Reverend Larry Criselli, pastor for life. Troop 3 celebrates Reverend Larry's 10th year pastor. And it's signed, congratulations, Pastor Larry. Pastor Larry, it's signed by all the scouts. Thank you, Lord. I'm humbled because I mean, this church has been open for over 100 years and we haven't been here. Just to be a part of what you're doing is a blessing to us, to see young fellas grow up to be young men, to do great things. We know that the future's bright because of you. And to have a part in that at all is humbling. The men like Brother John who take you out and lead you, they're the ones, they're your heroes. Those are heroes who give their time without asking for money, without asking for favor, give their time to give you guys what you need. That's the blood. That's God working. And if you see that in all your life, reaching out to people, you're going to be nothing but successful. That's God's way. And like I said, Brother John, he gives his time. And God sees what you give. God sees what you do. He sees it. No matter what you say or what you do, he sees it. So why not do good things? Amen? Give God praise, church. Thank you. Thank you very much.